in your bulletin, on the face, on the cover of your bulletin. Has everybody got a copy of the bulletin? Anybody doesn't have a copy of the bulletin, let the ushers have them and can bring them forward to you. If you don't have a copy of the bulletin, if you'll just raise your hand, just let me know. We'll get a copy to you. All right. On the face of our bulletin this morning is a verse of Scripture that is recorded in Revelation chapter 1. It's verse 8. And if you've got your Bible this morning, want to turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Says John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. And verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you for each one that's come this way. We thank you for our Sunday school program, Father. We thank you for all of those that participated this morning. We encourage others, Father, who are members of our church or maybe just visiting, Father, that we would encourage them to come also and visit with us when we have our Sunday school program. Lord, we thank you for each one that's come this way this morning. We ask your blessing upon the services this morning. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for the fellowship. And we just ask you, Father, to bless us as we minister in your word this morning. Father, you get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. The Holy Scriptures clearly record. The Holy Scripture clearly records that the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the one who is and the one who was and the one who is to come, is the Almighty God. Isn't that what that Scripture says? Says it very clearly. Says it very clearly. The one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come, or will be, as the Hebrews put it, is none other than the Almighty God. To the Hebrews, the name of God, I Am, means that very thing. It means the one who is, the one who was, and the one who always will be. Who is this great I Am? Who is the great I Am? Of course, the Bible says he's the Almighty God. He's the Almighty God. But I want us to go back in our Bible this morning to the place where the name I Am was first used by God to identify himself to Moses. And also that name he told Moses, if when you come to the children of Israel, when you come to the children who are in captivity in Egypt and they ask you who sent you, use this name. And so this is the name I Am that that God gave to Moses. Moses has been summoned to the burning bush. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 3 in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I want to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Isn't it wonderful to know that God knows about our sorrows? God knows our burdens. God knows everything that's going on in our life. I'm so thankful for that. Verse 8 again. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Anybody know how old Moses is at this time? 80 years old. Moses said unto God, Behold, and he said, Certainly, I, verse 12, And God said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And verse 15 says this, And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. This is my memorial unto all generations. Here God reveals his true name. I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, God says, I am hath sent me unto you. And again, to the Hebrews, this name means the one who is, the one who was, and the one who always will be, the Almighty God. The important point to remember here, the Hebrews, in order to avoid mispronouncing God's name and thus being found guilty of taking God's name in vain, that's using it irreverently, decided not even to use it, but to use the term Adonai, which means the Lord. Adonai, the Lord. But God's name for all time and to all generations is the unpronounceable I Am or Yahweh. So we see here that God reveals to us his true name. This name speaks much about his nature. This past Saturday morning, as we were sharing in the book of Genesis, one of the interesting things about the book of Genesis is it opens with, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God doesn't begin. Somebody would ask the question, well, where did God come from? Well, listen, the Bible teaches us that God has always been, is now, and always will be. And just by faith, we just need to trust that. I don't know. My son came not too long ago to work on one of our central air systems out here. And he came and he worked on the central air system, and then he began to try to explain to me what the problem was. Well, Well, he's wasting his time. I don't understand the first thing about what he's explaining about that central air system. All I'm thankful for is that he came, he fixed it, and he's available to us anytime that we need him to come and do those things. And that's the way God is. I don't understand all that there is about where God came from, how he came about. I'm not interested in that. I do understand that he sent his son into this world to die for my sins, and that he's gone home to build a home for me in glory, and I'm looking forward to it. Brother Jones, Philip Jones, just this past week. I mean, I put it in the bulletin what he said, and that's if you got the bulletin, you look at that little comment that Philip Jones made before he knew he was going to die. He was perfectly prepared to go home because he had trusted in the Lord, and he was looking forward to that going home. So God says, I am the one who is, I am the one who was, and I am the one who always will be. I am, I exist. And all you need to do is just to trust that. Now I want us to see something else that God reveals about himself in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, how many gods are there? I trust that every member of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church knows how many gods there are. We don't serve a pantheon of gods throughout the universe as many did in the old... as many do even today. We serve one God. God is one God. There's not two or three or five or six or whatever. In Isaiah chapter 43, and by the way, this was one of Andrew's favorite portions of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, verse 3, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, what? Thy Savior. Thy Savior. So the great I Am of the Old Testament, the only God of the Old Testament, is also our Savior. Is also our Savior. Turn to Isaiah 44. Let me read verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is what? Amen. Isaiah 45. Verse 21 and through 23. God says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a what? Hallelujah. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Now I want to ask you a question. Did God come into this world to die for a particular group of people? He surely did not. He came to die for all the world. It's up to the lost of this world to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's up to the lost of this world to see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. One of these days, whether you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee will kneel, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And by the way, you will read that again. Paul reiterates that in the book of Philippians. Now let's look at Isaiah 49. Verse verse 26. Isaiah 49, verse 26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. These Old Testament scriptures make it clear to us that there is only one God, and yet that one God, the great I Am, is also the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. In Isaiah chapter 9, 6, speaking of the coming Messiah, God shares this. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government," oh, I'm looking forward to this day, and I trust that you're looking forward to this day too, the great millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, when there will be true peace upon this earth. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." What is his name? "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." That speaks of the Holy Spirit. "The Mighty God." That speaks of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. "The Everlasting Father." That speaks of the Father. "The Prince of Peace." And who does that speak of? Jesus Christ. And so there you have it. The Holy Trinity of God summed up in a single verse. He is God the Son. He is God the Father. He is God the Holy Spirit. Now that's the Old Testament. Now let's turn to the New Testament and see the great I Am at work in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to John chapter 6. The New Testament book of John. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." He was the bread of life to the children in the wilderness as he fed them with manna from heaven. He is the bread of life through his living word today, the Bible. He is the bread of eternal life through his sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." In John 8, verse 12, listen to what Jesus says. If you can turn there, it's interesting. I don't know if you do Bible study or whatever, but it would be good if you have a pencil to mark these verses, because it spells out the fact that when God talked about being the I Am, the ever-present God, it was also, he was talking about his work in the New Testament. John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The children of Israel were led through the wilderness by the fiery light of God by night. When the light rose up over the tabernacle, the children knew that God was preparing to move, and they were to follow him. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light." Where did that light come from? The sun and the moon were not created until the fourth day. That light came forth from God himself. He was the power generator that created and started this earth rotating on its axis. He was the light that expelled the darkness. And John tells us that Jesus was the creator of all things. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Jesus sent forth the light in Genesis. And Jesus will be the one who provides the light in the kingdom of God to come. Did you know that in the New Jerusalem there'll be no sun, there'll be no moon? Turn, if you will, just for a moment to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. Speaking of that city to come. Who is the light of that city? Revelation 21, verse 23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Who is the Lamb? Hallelujah. Revelation 22:5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the light of truth and understanding as well. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The children of Israel had their backs against the Red Sea, and God made a door through the Red Sea. And they walked across, the Bible says they walked across on what type of ground? Dry ground. Isn't it interesting though? Isn't it interesting though that the chariots of the Egyptians who pursued got marred down in the mud? How in the world did that happen? Jesus was the door to life then in the Old Testament, and he is likewise that same door to eternal life today. He stands before your heart and beckons you to open that door and let him in. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's how wonderful Jesus is. He just stands at your door, at the door of your heart and knocks. But you've got to open the door. You've got to allow him to come in. Do you think God, do you think today, do you think that somehow maybe you have sinned so much that God is not calling you anymore? I tell you this, as long as you're breathing air, God is moving upon your heart. You can respond to God today. This very moment, you can respond to God. God's call. God wants you to live for all eternity with him. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In Luke chapter 12, verses 27 through 32, listen to what the Bible says. You're worried about being taken care of. Jesus says, Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. God knows you need a shelter over your head. God knows that you need transportation even to get back and forth. He wants to provide all of those. Verse 31 says, But rather seek ye the kingdom of God and these things and all these things. And all of these things shall be added unto you. In verse 32, Jesus says, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, Let me just share this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's the truth. That's the reason the Christian faith is so hated in the world today. Because people get so fed up with Christians because Christians, solid Christians, stand on the very principle that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Muslims, if they're going to find rest sometime in the sweet by and by, they're going to have to come find the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's not hard for them to find Jesus Christ. Christians standing firm upon the very principles of the Holy Scriptures ought to be a beacon to them to come and to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Muslims, if they continue in their way, they're going to find eternal life, but it's not going to be the eternal life they're looking for. Now turn to John chapter 8, and I want you to see this debate that the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not really a debate at all, because Jesus is telling them very clearly who he is. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 51. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead," and Abraham had been dead some 2,500 years. "And the prophets are dead. And you say, if a man keeps your sayings, he shall never taste of death." The Jews asked this question, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself?" In verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him, and I keep his sayings." Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Do you know when Abraham saw Jesus' day? He saw a shadow of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the day that God asked him to take his only son up to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice. That's the day, Abraham was delivered from offering up his own son, because Abraham looked at his son and he said, Isaac said, "Dad, we've got the fire and we've got the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham looked to his son Isaac and he said, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." And that's prophetic. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what God did. Stepped down from glory, came into this world, clothed, veiled in flesh. If it had come any other way, he would have destroyed us. Veiled in flesh, he came into this world as the Lord Jesus Christ and went to Calvary's cross as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So in verse 56, Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, you're not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" They're mocking him. And look at what Jesus says in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was," what? Hallelujah. He took the name of God and applied it to himself. And verse 59 says, "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't cower under the tossing of these stones. Jesus didn't move himself to a side or anything to try to dodge these stones. If you read the verse of Scripture, he walked right in the midst of them, but they didn't see him. He hid himself. Look at the verse again, verse 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Why did they take up stones to cast at him? John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33 says this. Jesus said, again in conflict with the Jews, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I shown you of my Father. Of which of those works do you stone me?" And verse 33, they said, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself God." Before Abraham was, Christ said, "I am the eternal God." He applied to himself the divine name of Exodus chapter 3. And so we see from the testimony of Scripture that the great I am is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And finally, turning to the book of Revelation, John receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ of further events to come. Revelation chapter 22, if we can. Very quickly, Revelation chapter 22. The question is, who is speaking to John during this period of time? Who is speaking to John in giving the revelation of things to come? Verse 12. Revelation 22, verse 12. The one talking says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Now, nobody knows that day or hour, but when it happens, it's going to happen quickly. Verse 13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Who's speaking? Who is that? It's got to be God. It's got to be God. This is God speaking. Remember Isaiah 44:6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." In verse 14 of Revelation 22, "Blessed are they that do his commandments." What are the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? To love God and to love one another. To love God and to love one another. Those are the commandments. The Bible teaches that upon these two commandments hangs all the law and the testimony. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Verse 16, who is speaking? "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the churches. I am the root. I am the creator." That's what God's saying. The Lord Jesus is saying, "I am the creator, and I am the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let them that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The same God that walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day is the same God that came into this world as a babe, grew up to the fullness in the fullness of time, and went to an old rugged cross to purchase with his own blood our redemption. Hallelujah. That is wonderful. Verse 18 says, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, I surely I come quickly." And John says, "Amen, even so, come," who? Lord Jesus. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Well, God's coming again. He's coming, and he's coming in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each and every one of us needs to be prepared for his coming. Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? He is the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He is the good shepherd, and he is the door to eternal life. And he is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. There are many gods worshipped in this world, but there's only one that can give you eternal life, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus said before Abraham was, "I am the eternal God." Hallelujah. He's the only one that can save us. He's the only way. He's the only way out of this life of misery and pain and suffering and confusion and anxiety and all of that. And Philip Jones knew that. Philip Jones knew he was going to be leaving this world in a matter of days. And he was. And Buck and I can testify to you, the man was at perfect peace, waiting the coming of the angels, waiting for the death angel to come. Because you know what? Philip Jones knew he had victory in Jesus. Amen. Do you have victory in Jesus? If the death angel was to come for you today, would you be prepared to go home and to be with the Lord? The Bible says, "If we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Very simply. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. How wonderfully simple the Creator of the universe has made it possible for you to one day come home to a world that is far away from this one. From this one. This one's passing away, by the way. It surely is. It's passing away. But we can have eternal life with the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that ministers to us, Father. We thank you, Father, for a very home in glory. That soon and very soon, Lord, I just feel it in my heart that you're coming for your church, Father, and I wouldn't want anybody to miss the rapture of the church. The Bible says the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive will be changed instantly and caught up to be with you in the air. It is true, Father, that not all of us may have to come home to be with you through the corridor of death, but we may all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up to be with you in glory. Father, I pray this morning, if there's one here that's never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, that help them to realize today that you stand at the door of their heart and knock. And they need to open the door, and let you come in. Father, bless that one that's furthest from thee. Move upon their heart with conviction that, Lord, as they tend to be walking away, Father, they'll turn around and come back. And Father, be back on that path to eternal life. Father, I ask your blessing upon each one this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, Amen.